Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. So once a year, every year, until the end of time, I'll be making my pastor friends go on retreats with me. These are my friends from seminary, from graduate school, where we all studied to become pastors. They're my seminary small group. We started having dinner together, a family-style dinner together on Wednesday nights. We would eat dinner and take turns cooking in my friend's apartment. We would make use of her in-unit washer-dryer, and we'd take turns doing our laundry. And we had family dinner every Wednesday night for 2 years. And then we were about to graduate. We were about to be living all over the country. And I said, well, this just can't end here. We need to keep doing family dinner. So I convinced them. I said, we need to get together once a year, every year, until the end of time for family dinner, since we're not going to be living close enough to do it every week anymore. And you know what? They fell for it, and it's working. Every year since we graduated in 2015, we tuck ourselves away in a cabin for a few days, and we just reconnect. We spend all day in our pajamas drinking coffee and maybe all afternoon switching to wine, and we talk about our lives and the years that we've had. Since we've been doing this in 2015, we've celebrated 3 weddings, 3 baby girls being born. There's one more on the way this fall. We've grieved the loss of a father-in-law and an aunt and a dad who all died way too soon. 4 houses have been bought and 1 house was sold. There have been cross-country moves and more advanced degrees started. And the list just goes on. These are my people and I love them. And I do not know what I would do without these retreats. But I'd be lying if I said I loved every minute of every retreat. Maybe you can relate from reunion type gatherings like this or holidays with your families. There's a lot of energy when you're coming together for the first time. There's all this energy of what being together looks like when that's all taking place, when everybody's arriving. But then, at least for us, things inevitably get a little bumpy. Because we're 6 grown women with different personalities and expectations and needs and family situations. Somebody needs a nap. Somebody needs to girl talk. Somebody needs to go on a run. Somebody needs to rework their next sermon series or talk through a staffing model they're thinking about. Our last trip was in February of 2020, and we thank God we got to gather together and go on this retreat before this pandemic took over everyone's lives. And this was our most different gathering so far because we had 2 of those baby girls with us, a 10-week-old and a 10-month-old, which I now know are very different kinds of baby, very different stages of baby. So not only did we have all of our different needs and expectations to think about, but we had these baby girls to think about too and what they needed. So one afternoon in the cabin, somewhere between one baby's nap and the next baby's feeding, my friend Rachel kind of said out loud and kind of to me, isn't it interesting how we have to learn how to be together again? And that's just it, isn't it? What we're all feeling and experiencing right now, whether we can name it or not, this feeling of needing to learn how to come together again. After the disruption of these last several months of how we gather, we have to learn, all of us, a little bit about how to come back together again. And maybe you've already run into situations like this already, and if you haven't, I think we're bound to. Whether it's a family reunion or holidays or returning to work in person or when and how your kids are going to be in childcare or in school, all of us are dealing with how to come together again, even at church. How church fits into our lives now is something that we're all wrestling with. Because we're different now, aren't we? At least I am. What we've experienced in the last 15, 16 months has changed us. We might have different values now. We might spend our time differently now. We might have different expectations for the people in our lives or what we're involved with. And if we're all different, if we've all been changed, then well, coming back together might be a little bit more complicated than we realize. And that's why over the next few weeks, we're going to focus on something that's really important in our shared life together in general, but especially as Christians, and that is embracing grace. We know we need God's grace all the time, but right now we need God's grace to restore our sense of community. And we need God's grace to reconcile us with our community. Because all of us, in all of our different stages of life and different experiences of the pandemic, all of us have experienced this big disruption to our sense of community. So we're going to spend the next few weeks together talking about God's grace, how we need to embrace God's grace for us and then extend that grace to the people in our lives. God embraces us with unconditional grace. That's what we're going to be talking about for this first week. God embraces us with unconditional grace. There's this core belief in our Presbyterian tradition that came out of the Protestant Reformation. Do you remember that from your high school history classes, the Reformation? So this idea that is so central to our Christian faith is justification through faith by grace alone. And that's a lot of words, and it actually means a really, really big idea for us as Christians. But what I want you to think about and understand just for today is that we believe that grace has everything to do with who God is and what God did, and not who we are or what we have done. This idea of justification by faith or by grace alone, this stands in contrast to the idea that grace, God's favor, is something that we could work hard enough to earn. It's in contrast to this idea of grace by works or good deeds or the law. This scripture from Ephesians 2 reminds us that by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. If you remember from a couple months ago, this is my shorthand for this verse, and I think it's really easy to remember, and I think it's really relatable. You have been saved by grace. God loves you. And this is not of your own doing. Deal with it. You had nothing to do with the grace that you get offered from God. Deal with it. You can't work it out on your own. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. God just loves you. Deal with it. God embraces us with unconditional grace. Remember, the author of the Ephesians was describing that life without God's love, without God's unconditional grace, was kind of like walking around lifeless. That without the hope that Christ brings into our life, well, life is a little bit more like death. But that really believing and accepting God's unconditional love, God's unconditional grace for us, it changes everything. When we accept God's unconditional grace for us, we can find new life even in the parts of our life that we thought were too dead or too lost, that we had given up all hope. Remember, the author of the Ephesians doesn't say that God's grace is for you when you've already made a life for yourself, when you've already got something to show for it. No, God's grace comes to us when we're still dead in sin, when we're still lost. That's grace. Not that we made ourselves worthy of it, but that God wants to embrace us with love so much that God comes to us in the midst of our mess, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our darkness. That's grace. This reminder of God's unconditional grace for us is so important right now as we think about coming back together again. Because if God's unconditional grace is for us, And God's unconditional grace is for everyone. And we need, in our shared life together, in the communities that we have, we need to remember that God's unconditional grace is for everyone, and we need to extend that grace to others. Priya Parker is an author of the book, The Art of Gathering. She hosted a New York Times podcast, Together Apart. She's a conflict resolution expert. And she's done some really important and really timely work on why do we gather and how we gather and why it matters. And Brené Brown, shame researcher and author and leadership expert, had her on her podcast, Dare to Lead, a couple times. And I really recommend that episode to you, because the things that they talk about, whether you're leading at home as a parent or in your community as a volunteer or in your business work and in a company or in a school, I think everyone has something to learn because we're all in community. And one of the things that they talk about in their conversation is how there's this concern that they have that everybody is going to feel so impatient about rushing back together to be together again that they're not going to stop and think about how we gather and what we need from gatherings might be different now. Because remember, we're different now. But this idea of gathering sounds so good, doesn't it? It sounds like the thing that we've been waiting for. And so that makes a lot of sense that we'd be excited to rush back together. And the conversation that they have and the questions that they ask and invite people to ask of their own communities is really to take a look at, well, what do people need now and what might be different and what might need to change about how we gather? And they say, you know, these conversations can't happen without trust or vulnerability. And trust and vulnerability can be a couple things that are really hard to find. They're really hard to live out, aren't they? But one thing I know is that I don't think trust or vulnerability can exist anywhere without grace. I think we need to believe that God loves us as we are, who we are right now, to be able to take risks and be vulnerable and trust others. That we need to stand in that security of who we are to God, to be able to take those risks and then to be able to extend that grace and that invitation for other people to trust and be vulnerable. Maybe you're just starting to ask some of these questions about how coming together again is going to look like for you. Maybe you've been asking some of these questions and you just have more questions. That's okay. None of us really knows what the future is going to look like for our gatherings, for our communities. But one thing we do know is that we need God's embracing grace to restore a sense of community and to reconcile us with our community. This week, we've taken a look into God's unconditional grace, but next week, we hope you come back to learn about God's costly grace. Because while, yes, we get embraced by grace with no cost, there is a cost to grace, and we'll be talking about that next week. So we hope you'll come back for that.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.